Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This is a special week. We travel to Austria for this week's conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has always been one of our favorite guests, and this might be my favorite conversation that we've had. I encourage you to watch the TV version or the YouTube version at youtube.com/AlexMichelson. You really get to see it and feel it and go to different places. So check that out. But this is the podcast version, which is a longer version of the conversation that's included in the TV version, where you really get a chance to sit down and it feels more like a podcast. And so we traveled to Austria with Arnold Schwarzenegger for the Austrian World Summit, which is this big climate conference that happens once a year. It's the ninth time that they've done it. Arnold Schwarzenegger recruited people from 60 different countries to come to this gathering, this incredible old palace, essentially, and to talk about solutions for the issue of what he calls terminating pollution. And so we sat down with him after he asked me to speak at the conference, which was a huge honor, and represent American journalists. We sat down behind the scenes to talk about some of the big issues that are at play, including all the climate issues. And then beyond that, we talked about him. About this trip where he visited his childhood home and worked out with a lot of his biggest fans, about his son, Patrick. The day we recorded, Variety had just released this Actors on Actors conversation between him and Patrick, and getting into that dynamic was really interesting. And then we talked about our relationship and sort of how it's grown over the years and some of the people that have inspired him and how he's inspired me. And it was really a beautiful, beautiful conversation. And It's an amazing show, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did, and I hope you learn from him. He's one of one, and this one's really special. So here it is, our conversation with the former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Governor Schwarzenegger, welcome back to The Issue Is, and thank you so much for hosting us here.
Well, this is really fantastic. I mean, the last time we talked about it when we did the interview, I said, you have to come to Vienna, and here you are.
I'm
you
here.
Actually took it seriously, and you're here.
When you say, I have to do it, I have to do it.
You're here at our environmental conference, and you met Tony Blair, and you met the president of Austria, van der Bellen, and our new chancellor, Stoker. I mean, it was incredible. So you meet all these people.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you hang out with you and your green jacket, master's
winner.
Yeah,
I want the masters, some of the masters. You know that I got this jacket made especially just to come to Vienna for this environmental conference.
Yeah.
This is what I got to make
it,
for.
It looks good.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk about the main point. What do you want the big takeaway of this conference to be?
The takeaway of this year, every year is a different takeaway. This year the takeaway is, he says, don't pay any attention that we have now Trump in the White House and that he may not agree with everything that we are doing or that we believe in, but let's just move forward and just understand that the action really is on a local level anyway, and on a state level. Like in California, 70% of the pollution gets cut on a state and local level. So don't worry about what he is doing or what Washington is doing. It's all just a cheap excuse, and I don't fall for this excuse. I think that you should just shift gears, have a big vision. What is it that you can do rather than whining?
Do you hear that from a lot of people in the rest of the world about Trump, though? Are they bringing that issue up to you?
Especially in an environmental issue, people have been saying to me, what's the point now of fighting in the pollution and fighting climate change when we have Trump? And I said, what a stupid thing to say. I said, so you mean that you cannot do anything anymore? I said, do you realize the very fact that when you go and buy something that is made in China, that you're contributing to the pollution because someone has to ship this stuff over there? I said, you can do something, stop it, and just buy a pair of jeans that says made in America. It's that simple. I say, oh, don't buy something from Italy, don't buy something from Germany or from Austria. I said, just buy something from America. This is where the action is, or from Los Angeles. We have all the factories. So what I'm saying is that every one of us has the power to do something about pollution and to reduce pollution. And the people should know that there's 7 million people that die every year because of pollution. And it is a people's issue, it's not a political issue. And so what I'm saying this year at the conference is basically, you know, don't worry about what the federal government is doing. Let's figure out what you can do.
Sure.
And here's all the great things that companies are doing. Here's the great things that local government is doing. And they laid out all the kind of various different things.
last time we talked, you talked about how when you were governor, you fought the Bush administration and won in court to be able to go forward with California rules. Now we're in a situation where California wants to have this mandate that in 2035, there's no more selling of gas-powered vehicles. The Trump administration and the Republicans in Congress are fighting that.
Well, but it doesn't matter if they're fighting or not. I mean, the amount of fights that I went through to get where I am today, if it's in Hollywood, or if it's in bodybuilding, if it's in business, in real estate and everything, and in politics also, that's just the way it is. There's no clean road. No one is laying out the red carpet for you on every issue and says, come on in here, there will be no resistance. Resistance, there is resistance, but remember, you fight that resistance, and every time you fight this resistance, you grow and you get stronger. And so there is no resistance, there's nothing. California should continue moving forward. And California, when I fly over with the helicopter over all the warehouses, they're still not covered with solar. So there's a lot of things that can be done where I guarantee you that the Trump people and the national security and the FBI, no one is standing there arresting people just because they put solar on the roof. It doesn't exist.
But do you side with California in that 2035 mandate?
They should continue on very aggressive. Yeah. And, you know, remember one thing. If I put 500 pounds on the bar, I may lift it, I may not. But the only way I find out is if I try it. Mm. The same thing is with California. They may find out that they can't do it exactly that year, but it's a good goal to shoot for. Absolutely.
One of the things I love about this conference is that it is focused on solutions and stuff that people can do and stuff that people can see. Because you've talked about a lot of, when you talk about clean air, people can't see that, but there's stuff. What's a specific solution that's being talked about here that you're especially excited about, that you want people to know about?
Not just what is being talked about. Like, let me just say, we have encouraged people to think creatively. There's a woman here that is now that owns a cement company.
Right.
Well, you know, and I know that cement is a huge polluter. To produce cement and to use cement for construction, huge polluter. So she found a way now to do it kind of pollution free. Mm. So and she's gonna bring it to America. So this is a huge discovery. So this is, if you make steel, if you make cars, if you build infrastructure and you use concrete and cement and all this stuff, and you can do this pollution free, that's huge. Mm. So this is the kind of things we are trying to let people know. You can work in all these different areas and be exploring new ways of creating pollution free activities, you know. And so to me, it's all about how do we reduce pollution? How do we use more renewable energy? How do we get more safe nuclear power and all of those kind of things?
A creative way to talk about these issues is in music. And there's this group, Boss Hoss, that is debuting music here featuring you talking about I'll Be Back.
Right.
What was that experience like for you going into the recording booth?
Well, interesting enough that they came and they sang for us for free years ago at one of our fundraisers in Kitzbühel. And since then, they came there only probably because they liked me and they liked a little bit the environmental stuff. But then they learned that how serious we really are. Mm-hmm. And then they offered their services for other kind of events, to come to Vienna and to come and do another fundraiser and so on. And then they finally said, why don't we go and create a song and then donate the money from that song to this environmental cause? And so now we're benefiting from that song. So they have become real great allies and great friends. They're very, very talented people. Everyone is after them. And we're very lucky to have a friendship with them, and they're coming and performing, and they're performing here today.
Was it fun for you to go in the recording booth?
Oh, I mean, I just say, I'll be back. it was an easy one, you know, and they showed me the whole thing. So I mean, they came to California, and they had a great time traveling around and doing their video, their music video, and working with a snake, you know, with a rattlesnake. They almost killed them.
One of the cool things you did on this trip is you visited your hometown of Taal, and you brought the Arnold Pump Club there. So for people that may not know, you have this Pump Club, which people can subscribe to your daily free email newsletter, and then people work out around the world based off of this community that you've created.
That's
and they
right.
came to your hometown.
Right.
Walk
yes.
us through what that was like for you.
Well, we do every so often an event anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm.
anywhere in America, if it is in Austin, if it is in Los Angeles, if it is in Columbus, Ohio, at the Arnold Classic. And so since I'm over here already for the environmental conference, we decided that I'm going to go to see the museum anyway, the Schwarzenegger Museum.
Mm.
And this is where I worked out for the first time in my life, was working out in front of my house.
There's a chin-up bar
there, mother looking
right?
down, right.
Yeah.
My mother looking down and saying, "Oh, Arnold, why are you doing this? I don't understand it," and all, you know, and negative. So, but anyway, that's where I lifted. And so the very same spot in front of that house, I invited now a limited amount of people, like 150 mm. To 170 that came and to do the deadlift exactly the way I did it.
Mm.
And then they had a competition and they tried to do their best. You know, everyone is trying to break their personal best. And it went up to like 500 pounds or something like that, which was incredible, the amount of weight that the women and men lifted. And they were so excited. And what we did was we invited them to come and to see where I did the first chin-up in the forest at those trees by this lake. And then we took them from the lake, from the chin-up bar to the church, where I used to go to church. And we had them view the church. And then afterwards they had them view the elementary school, and then they went back to the house, to my birth house, and also to the, which is now a museum, and then started working out. And then we fed them my mother's favorite, the Wiener Schnitzel, and also Apfelstrudel.
Were you envisioning your mother?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's interesting you said it, because I was standing there, and then there was two people lifting. There was a bar over here and a bar over here, and they were all going back and forth, back and forth. And I saw the bar going up to 300 pounds, 400 pounds, 500 pounds, and all of that stuff. And then I looked up at the house. And then all of a sudden I saw my mother opening up the window and just looking out and just saying, I says, "Arnold, what are you doing?" You know, and I said to myself, I mean, this was like 60 years ago,
yeah.
More than 60 years ago. She was opening up that window and looking at me and thinking I'm crazy. You know, because this was the garden where she grew the potatoes, the tomatoes, the berries, and all of that stuff. She went downstairs before she cooked and ripped out the potatoes, washed them, cut them up, and cooked them to make goulash and stuff like that. So I had all the fresh vegetables and fruits.
You got to think she would be so proud of you.
Oh, yeah, she would be so proud of me. Yeah, absolutely. She was proud. Remember that even though she said always, "Oh, you would never make it, and this is terrible, and what a stupid idea, all this lifting." But then as soon as I won the first competition, I had this trophy. Yeah. I won the European Championships, junior best built man of Europe.
Mm.
And she grabbed the trophy, and she ran around the village, and she showed to everybody, "Look what my son did. He won this trophy. He's the best in Europe." Of course, I pushed him. He never pushed me. Anyway, I said, self-focused, right? But I mean, I like to just say this. As a matter of fact, one time, you would love this, one time at the Golden Globes, 1977, where I won the Golden Globes for best acting debut. There was my mother sitting there. There was Stallone's mother sitting there, Sophia Loren's mother sitting there, Raquel Welch's mother sitting there. All the mothers were sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And they all took credit for all of our careers. Sophia Loren's mother right away said, "Oh, she was so shy. I had to push her to the photographer." And then the Stallone's mother said, "He says, oh, my son was like a fucking... you know, furniture mover. He didn't do, couldn't do anything. Then I pushed him into the acting school." And my mother said, "Oh," and I told my son, I said, "You better work out every day and get your body straightened." None of it was true. None of it was all exaggerated.
You learned a little of that BS as a skill, too.
Oh, yeah,
that's helped you over the years, right?
The schmay,
as you say,
exactly.
Right. Well, speaking of being proud as a parent, congratulations on the success of all your kids, but Patrick you now have this, Variety does this series called Actors on Actors, right, where the actors sit and interview each other. And so the latest one is you and your son interviewing each other.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, I tell you, it was, it's a very good question because I've never had a conversation with my son about acting.
Never.
I don't know why.
Wow.
You know, I think he has this conversation much more with his mother, with Maria. But maybe he felt kind of like he didn't want to bother me or whatever it is. But he was, I always could tell that he was very interested in it. Mm. Because right away when he was in school, he already took acting classes and he participated in plays and he was trying to find an agent. And there was one thing that was always interesting about him, and that was that he was a businessman. He was already at the age of 10. He was doing all kinds of things that he was doing on a computer. There was like games of trading, kind of sports teams and athletes and all this kind of stuff. It was just weird. He was just really into making money, making $1 into two. So I think he emulated me on that one. But I did not know how far he's going to go with acting and if he had kind of the endurance and the will, because you get rejected so many times in acting that you sometimes it strips away your will. You end up with nothing. You end up just kind of like feeling like a loser. But in fact, my son kind of didn't kind of take the rejections personally. He just did more and did better and better and better. And he worked his way up, and now he did White Lotus. And I've watched him over the years, but he never asked me a question about, you know, how do you do this with the promotion, or how do you go and do it when you go and read for a part, or how do you get a part, how do you spice up the part when you get it, and all this. Never ever talked to me about that. So now was the first time where we sat down actually and had a 1 hour dialogue that we never had. So it was totally organic, where I could tell him about his, ask him about his beliefs, about certain things, and he asked me. And it was a really, really fascinating conversation where I learned a lot myself.
What did you learn from him?
Well, it was just that his approach, basically, to just go and believe 100% in also selling the show, not just doing the show. So he right away said to me, he says, look, I believe it's very important that when you have a great show, that the people know about it. And I said, that's exactly right. Because I always believed that. Because if the people don't know that this product is out there, you have nothing. You can have the best product in the world, but if the people don't know, you have nothing. And so he was the one that was telling me the way he believes, how he approached acting, what he does, how he prepares for a part, how he studies and all this stuff. So it was really fascinating for me to hear that because I would have never had that conversation with him.
I hope that you have the moment like your mother had at the Golden Globes. I think Patrick deserves to get nominated. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool for you to be there with that?
But I would not say, hey, I pushed him. I was like, I have nothing to do with that. I was kind of the model. Yeah. He looked at me. One thing I do take credit for, and that is I was very, very good in taking my kids to the movie set. So when I was making movies and they were little children, I brought them to the movie trailer, to my motorhome, and they were doing their homework there with their friends. I took them to the set whenever I shot on a set, and they saw me blowing up things. They saw me wiping out everybody, killing people, and all of this stuff. And they always walked back to the trailer and said, that was really cool, Dad. That was unbelievable. So I think that inspired him.
Yeah.
And he even talks about
he's
that.
He's talked about that. And he's talked about that with us
before
as well. Just to wrap things up with you real quickly, a couple things. Just big picture on you. I know you've done so many kind things for other people, and that's one of the things that I've really noticed at this, the way you lift everybody up. What's the kindest thing somebody's done to you?
You know, I've been a person that has benefited his whole life because of other people's generosities. I mean, imagine that you are 15 years old and then someone cares enough to invite you to a weightlifting gym and then to take over and to show you how to lift the weight and to show you the trick on how to sneak into that room at the stadium on the weekends. I leave this locker open on the top window, and then you just push it open from the outside, and then you crawl in. Mm. And things like that. And then you have a Freddy Gerstl, who was a Jewish guy who worked his way up in politics and became the head of the parliament in Austria. They told me about, or taught me about inclusion. Mm-hmm. They taught me about intelligence. Not to just walk around with a dumbbell, but to walk around with a book. Mm. He says, remember, that the muscles eventually fade. Mm. But he says, the brain doesn't. Mm. He says, you got to go and train your brain. And he says, you know, we Jews, we have always been taken everything from us in history. But the one thing that they could never take from us is our brain. So that's why we all concentrate on becoming lawyers and doctors and study and read and read and read and read. And he says, I want you to do that. I want you to read and I want you to study. So this, the person like Joe Weider who brought me to America, I mean, I got help from the beginning to the end. That's why I always say, I'm not a self-made man. I am a product of all of the help of all these thousands of people that cared about me. And this is why, because I recognize that, I also recognize that now it's my turn to use all my power to help other people. If it is the people that need a home, the veterans, and to get them homes, or if it is the Special Olympians that need a training and inspiration, or if it is the after-school kids with after-school programs, or the California people with me becoming governor, whatever it is, I mean, I try to be in there, and I try to build my own career and my own existence and everything, but at the same time, I always think about everyone else around me.
You know what I think is the most impressive thing about you is that you have gotten so many, built so many chips from so many years of being the best at everything, but you cash them in to help other people.
Yeah.
That you use your platform to lift people up and to highlight causes that nobody would pay attention to if you weren't doing it.
Right.
Whether it be some of these pollution issues, whether it be gerrymandering, whether it be after school programs, that you have done that.
Right.
And it is so impressive and so inspiring, and there are so few people that do that. So
and
thank
of course,
you. Thank you for that.
Thank you, and I love when someone says, Arnold, this can't be done. Oh, this is like heaven to me, because then I really get inspired.
So, yeah, so what are you most, to end on that then, what are you most inspired to do next that can't be done? What's the, because you've done so much, what gets you out of the bed in the morning that gets you excited these
days? I think the most important thing is to teach other people how to be happy.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Because through my various different careers, I've learned so much. Mm. I learned about how the brain operates, how to get ready for an event, how to deal with pressure, how to deal with competition, how to take defeat, how to take a victory and stuff like that. All of this stuff. So I have a lot of information in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot to share. Because I'm a very sensitive person and I really learn quickly. And now the trick is, how do I go and hand this over to the next generation and to other people? Because it is upsetting to me to know that someone gets up in the morning and is upset and is depressed and does not know. I mean, it's okay when you wake up depressed. I wake up sometimes depressed, some chemical reason. But I'm smart enough to know that I don't think until 9 o'clock, right? I just go and feed my animals, I go through the routine, and then again I'm bicycling, and I ride the bike, then I work out, and now I don't think.
Yeah.
Until I go for breakfast, and all of a sudden everything is light, is bright. And so I want to teach people those various different tools. I want to give the people the tools so they can also become happy, because there's nothing that is more powerful and it's more wonderful than seeing people around you that are happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this is why, if I can teach them that, how to stay fit, how to stay healthy mentally and physically, I have it made.
And if the, what is in like a sentence or two the key to happiness?
Key to happiness is don't think before 9 o'clock in the morning and then go and start thinking. Have a vision, a very clear vision of what you're gonna go and tackle. And don't listen to the naysayers and work your ass off.
Yeah.
And work. This is where the action is.
And be useful.
Exactly, be useful.
Thank you
Absolutely.
So much for everything.
You know,
thank you so much for having me here.
I'm happy that you're here.
I'm happy
because,
to be here.
Because I think you're the greatest. I told you that many times.
Thank you.
And this is why I wanted you to be here.
Yeah.
because I care about you. I care about you because I really feel like, I mean, that guy deserves to be in Vienna and to be in the greatest city and the safest city and the most historic city. Yeah, he deserves it. That's why I wanted you to come here. And I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you very
much.
Absolutely. And in the best way possible.
Thank you.
Love you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Wow. How about that? Our thanks to Governor Schwarzenegger and our thanks to you for listening to this special edition of The Issue Is from Austria. Next week, speaking of podcasts, we've got some big podcast stars, the Micellus brothers, who created Midas Touch podcast, which now ranks as the number one podcast in the country ahead of Joe Rogan and all the rest of them. We first profiled them here on The Issue Is many years ago when they were first starting out. And now they've become sort of international sensations. And so it'll be great to have an opportunity to catch up with them. I'm also going to be talking with Douglas Murray, the well-known author, is going to be at the Nixon Library in front of a sold-out crowd. And I'll be interviewing him there, and we'll have some of that next week here on the Issue Is podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Alex Michelson. See you next week.